T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, I'll say this one because I know it makes me sound like an old man, and I don't want to sound like an old man. God knows I'm getting closer and closer to being an older man, but I try to refrain from really leaning into it, but I didn't mention it yesterday. But it stayed on my mind. And watching that selection show on Sunday, some of you know where I'm going, especially if you're younger. Here we go, Vern. Vern's going to complain. When they would go to the teams celebrating that they got into the NCAA tournament, the amount of athletes that were staring at their phone, right, Snapchatting and Instagramming and tweeting just drove me up a wall, man. Take a mental snapshot. Don't these snapshots and Instagram, aren't all these posts eventually going to be lost in the mix? Don't you want something that you can close your eyes and remember what it was like? I think that's coming up because I'm going to a concert on Thursday, and I know I'm going to be annoyed at how many people watch the concert through their phone. All right, I'm sounding old. I told you I would sound old. I don't want to sound old. I have to start biting my tongue a little bit more. All right, so it's day two without Ron the Show Hughley. I'm Josh Vernier. That is a refreshed Steven Serta. We are with you until 2 o'clock. A lot to get to today, but I actually want to start with Ron the Show Hughley, who will be back on Monday after this week-long vacation with his family out at Royals spring training. Do want to get to some Royals. Do want to talk about that Mike Trout deal. I don't think it's a great day for baseball, but we'll get to that. I do want to start with Ron's guy and Bill Self. In the news a lot lately because of something that we actually brought up on this show early in the college basketball season. And you know what? I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. It's something that's in the news quite a bit throughout Bill Self's tenure in Lawrence, and that is the possible opportunity in the NBA. Now, before we get into this, let it be known that Bill Self doesn't owe Kansas. He doesn't owe it to them to ride this thing out, in my opinion. Bill Self has delivered for Kansas in a way that very few in not just college basketball history, but in sports history have. Now, if he does leave this offseason, next offseason, whenever it does ultimately happen, if it ultimately does happen, if he leaves, it's my opinion that it should be met with a standing ovation from Kansas fans and a sincere thank you. Right, 10 Sweet 16s, a trio of Final Fours, the Hall of Fame, a national title. Yeah, he doesn't owe it to anyone. But I do think, you know, if I had to choose someone or something, what does he owe? Who does he owe? He does owe it to himself. I do think he owes it to himself to get another title in college basketball. Another title so he can finally join that class that he belongs in, right? He fits every criteria to be in that class, checks all the boxes to be in that upper echelon class. Well, checks all the boxes but one. He needs that second title. Boeheim does as well. That's why Jim Boeheim is the oldest coach in all of college basketball. He acknowledges that he needs that second title. By the way, I don't know if this is well known. I didn't know it until I saw it on Twitter last week. Did you know that not only is Jim Boeheim the oldest coach in all of college basketball, he's the oldest coach in the history of D1 basketball. Does that surprise anyone else? Or, and have you seen Tom Izzo lately? Man, I watched that Big Ten championship on Sunday. That dude is looking. He looks older than Jim Boeheim. And Jim Boeheim's the oldest college basketball coach in D1 history. Izzo's another one that needs that second title. He's in the class with Self and Boeheim where we all understand they're the great, they're the greatest or in the conversation for some of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time, but they're not in that next class. Coach K, Roy Williams, Dean Smith, you know the class. But it is an interesting dynamic with Bill Self, and the ego is a funny thing. Right, is your, and this is a question for the coach, is your legacy the most important thing? Having people worship you and building statues of you on campus. Is that paramount? Because if so, then maybe you should rest easy, Kansas fans, because you will always be a deity in Lawrence. They got you. Stick it out there. Or is your ego tempted by money and fame? Because you may be able to get more out of an NBA team, more cash. And Greg Popovich has said this season that he's not sure about coaching the San Antonio Spurs next season. And we all know the San Antonio ties for Bill Self, at least within that Spurs organization, of course. And then, of course, there's the unparalleled fame that could await in Los Angeles if LeBron and Magic Johnson come calling. Now, I don't know what Bill Self will ultimately do, but I can tell you this. Again, he doesn't owe it to Kansas to fight through the possibility of sanctions. Some of you might want to believe that even if the NCAA brings the hammer down on Kansas, that Bill Self acknowledging that he was a part of the reason why these sanctions ultimately fall in Lawrence, that he would want to see them through. Man, he doesn't owe it. He doesn't owe it to him to continue this charade of shoe companies and funneling money to these kids. Right, this corrupt cycle of adults exploiting kids. It's my opinion that he doesn't owe it to Kansas. And I'll tell you another thing. His quotes to Sam Mellinger in today's Kansas City Star. They don't make me, again, this is me, they don't make me lean one way or the other. Now, he was emphatic, and it was an interesting read, Mellinger's piece on Bill Self. Right, when Self says he's, quote, not motivated to leave Lawrence. I believe him. A lot of his quotes were just vague enough. And I think that's a good description of what it's like or what is needed to be a college basketball coach. You have to be able to speak vague enough to answer the question put forth, but not really say anything. So when he says he's not motivated to leave Lawrence, I believe him. But you and I know you can quickly become motivated if the ego gets revved up. Like most people, all you need to do is get a little booty shaking in front of you and all of a sudden that ego's revved up. Someone waves some money in front of you. When Bill Self says he's, quote, looking forward to seeing this NCAA issue through, again, I believe him because, again, he's justifiably untouchable at that school. Why would he sweat what could be coming from the NCAA, even if sanctions are levied? It's not as if he's going to feel the brunt of that from the Kansas faithful. Not in my opinion, he won't. And when he says this season, quote, motivated him to be in this business of coaching for a long time. Again, I obviously believe him. I never thought that he didn't love coaching. So again, it may sound like it was an emphatic statement that I'm here to stay, damn it. To me, it was just him answering the questions as he should on March 18th, 2019. But again, the ego is an interesting thing, and we are all ever evolving. You couldn't blame him if he ultimately does evolve and change his mind and move on from Lawrence. You couldn't blame him if he wanted to. We got K-State basketball coming your way on Friday at 1 o'clock right here as they open up the NCAA tournament. Your home for Wildcat Athletics is right here on 610 Sports Radio. Serta and I have something pretty cool coming up, college basketball and NAIA. Information on that and how you could really help Serta and I as we do something that hasn't been done in about a decade and a half. More on that coming up in our 11 o'clock hour. Before we get to this break, I did want to bring up something that Serta was the first that I heard mention this, and that is the idea of Jordy Nelson being the replacement for Chris Conley in this receiving core for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jordy Nelson, of course, the former K-State wide receiver, released by the Oakland Raiders. Chris Conley, the former Chief, is now signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. My not issue with this, because I'm about it, I think he would be a terrific number four wide receiver. You can still have DeMarcus Robinson as a potential deep threat. But Jordy Nelson, your sure-handed underneath wide receiver. I'm about bringing Jordy Nelson in to be this team's number four. Serta, I'm just not sure how Chiefs fans will react when Jordy Nelson puts up better numbers than Sammy Watkins.
Well, I mean, they'll freak out a little bit. But luckily, you can get out of Sammy Steele after next season. But Jordy could easily give you the production that Sammy put up last year, in my opinion. I think Sammy, at this point, is still more talented because Jordy's old and he's got a lot of wear and tear. But I think Jordy Nelson's still a competent wide receiver.
8 years older. Jordy's 34 in May. Sammy's 26 coming up in June. Since Jordy Nelson tore his ACL, he's played three NFL seasons, played in at least 15 games in all three. Sammy's only played in 15 games twice in his 5 years in the NFL. And last year, Jordy actually did outproduce Sammy Watkins. Of course, injury has something to do with that, but man, even with the injury, the quarterback difference you would think would be glaring, and yet Jordy Nelson caught 72% of passes to him. Sammy Watkins, 73. Jordy Nelson averaged 49 yards a game. Sammy Watkins, 52 yards a game. Jordy Nelson had 63 catches last year with Derek Carr. Sammy Watkins, 40 with Patrick Mahomes. I'm ready to bring Jordy Nelson to Kansas City to be this team's number four. I don't know if the fans are ready, though, to see that number four wide receiver outproduce your 26-year-old top five $22 million Sammy Watkins wide receiver. 913-576-7610 is our phone number. We will sprinkle in your phone calls throughout the show, but the text line is the way to go. The Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line 69306. I want to stay with the Chiefs and why the world is about to get a lot more difficult for Patrick Mahomes.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, off and rolling on a Tuesday. Show and Vern, show on vacation with the family out at Royal Spring Training. Protein House, Eat With a Purpose, text line 69306. From the 816, I hope this show is not a dumpster fire like yesterday.
Thought we killed it yesterday.
Listener 15 wants to know how you're feeling.
Wonderful.
Good, man, good.
I got a lot of sleep, watched some TV, feel great today.
Protein House, Eat With a Purpose, text line 69306. Listener 5, Vern, with all due respect, Kansas fans, do not care what you have to think. All right. All right. Serta, do you know who former Cardinals pitcher Jason Mott is?
No.
The guy that's working, that's sitting down at our front desk right now looks just like him.
Okay.
I came back from the bathroom. I'm like, holy crap, is Jason Mott here? It wasn't. Hey, real quick, before I get to Patrick Mahomes.
He does look like him. I think that guy works at The Rock.
Okay, so you know, did you just look up Jason Mott?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Before we get to Patrick Mahomes, man, I thought we were different on this show. Like, Show and Vern and Serta, you know, it's, we like to think that we're somewhat different, and we thought that you acknowledged the difference. especially those of you that have given yourself a listener number, which we recommend you all do. Select your own number. Whenever you text in, tag your text with your listener number. But I see listener 59 on Twitter. I see listener 1987 on Twitter. I see Sean Hoffman on Twitter and Freddie B on Twitter. Everyone's snitching on us. If you missed yesterday's show, Serta was struggling because of St. Patrick's Day. He didn't have much energy. And during a commercial break, he and the boss, Steven Spector, or as show calls him, Mr. Spector, they got into it. They had a heated exchange, and I was excited to see the energy from Serta, so I said, Spec, come in and let's discuss this on air. It was some ridiculous take about the Friday of the Big 12 tournament. Spector was saying it's not an elite drinking day in Kansas City. Serta disagreed, but
I've been drunk on that Friday for at least 6 years straight.
So I brought Spector in. They had a debate. Serta, I thought, was a lot more lively after that debate. The text line started crushing us, saying that we stabbed Ron in the back by having Mr. Spector on the show. And then all of these, I thought, Show and Vern loyal listeners run to Twitter to snitch to us, to Ron. Again, David Rice, C-Bro, Sean Hoffman, Freddie B., Ryan, and the rest of you. Come, maybe that's how they get down on Fesco in the morning. Maybe that's what they do on the drive. Maybe snitching is a... Not here. I told you yesterday I didn't do it maliciously. I did it for the betterment of the program. No need to run and tell Dad about this.
I'm very disappointed in our listeners.
Right?
You know, that's something maybe I would do. You know, maybe betray a trust like that. But you're supposed to be better than me. You're supposed to enjoy the show. You're supposed to like all of us in some capacity. You're not supposed to just do the things that I would do.
That's well said, Steve. That's well said.
I know I'm a bad person. It's okay.
I'm just saying, we got four more shows together without Ron. Are you going to run to him at, you know, any little jab I take? Oh, did you hear what Vern said? No, he didn't hear it. He's with his family. Let him be with his family. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. No, I didn't call him, text line. I didn't call him to apologize. I called him once. He didn't answer. I assumed he was with his family. I didn't leave a voicemail because I don't believe he knows the passcode and how to get into his voicemail. So, no. No, I lobbed him one phone call. He didn't answer, and we move on. All right? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. I got to get to this Patrick Mahomes thing. I also want to get to Mike Trout, man. We got a lot going on a Tuesday. Show and Vern with you until 2 o'clock. I highly recommend you check out our interview from yesterday with Seth Kizer, Chiefs film analyst from The Athletic. Good insight on yesterday's signing of Bashaud Breeland. But he's also a lawyer, so we dove into what we know concerning the Tyreek Hill story. So, yeah, check out that interview online at 610sports.com. Go to the on-demand page and, of course, radio.com. Like and subscribe to Show and Vern. But by now, you guys all know what's up with Tyreek Hill, involved in an investigation of two alleged incidents at his home, including a reported battery. Kansas City Star reporting through a source that Hill's 3-year-old son had a broken arm as a result. Again, as Seth said yesterday, and again, I can't recommend you listening to that interview enough. Seth said it yesterday. It certainly doesn't look good. But again, with his legal background, he goes into much more detail about what you can read into when it comes to the police report, just how long something like this could take to ultimately shake out right before we know the facts and before any sort of punishment, if there is going to be a punishment, if any of that is going to come out, it could take, as Seth Kizer said, upwards of a month for any of that to come out. But one aspect of the story that has not been broached is what this means for Patrick Mahomes. And yes, of course, there are more important things, guys. We all understand more pressing issues with this matter. But it's a sports show. You're a sports fan. I would like to think that we could acknowledge that the child's welfare is of the utmost importance. But save the bleeding heart stuff. We can talk about Patrick Mahomes. We can talk about football. I mentioned it briefly yesterday. I believe that next to Andy Reid, there's nobody that can hinder Patrick Mahomes' ability to perform like the best player in the league, more so than Tyreek Hill. Nearly 1,500 of the 5,000 yards that he threw for last season went to Tyreek Hill. Alex Smith was in the MVP conversation because of the abilities of Tyreek Hill. I think we've gotten to a point where we can all admit the unique speed that Tyreek Hill has and how that unique speed completely changes how the defense is forced to play and how teams have to respect his ability. He's a difference maker, unlike many other non-quarterbacks in the NFL. No question, he's the second most important player on this team. Bill Belichick, just listen to Bill Belichick talk about Tyreek Hill if you want to know his importance. But with the situation that currently hangs over the head of Tyreek and the cloud that hangs over all of Arrowhead, the cloud of uncertainty, I think it's fair to say that Patrick Mahomes has to grow up quick. And I'm not implying that he carries himself in an immature fashion, not at all. This kid's as buttoned up as any 23-year-old I've ever come across. No, when I say he needs to grow up quick, I mean the shields, the armor, the layers of security that he's had around him these first 2 years, those are slowly fading, slowly being torn down. Shields on the field like Kareem Hunt and possibly Tyreek Hill. Shields that help make the transition to starter easier for a young quarterback. And he's still a young quarterback. The armor that allows you to make a mistake or two but protects you from harm. Stops those mistakes from being game-changing fatal flaws. He's had those all around him these first 2 years. Protection by others. Because whether you want to admit it or not, in my opinion, things only look like they're going to get more difficult for Patrick Mahomes. Strange to say because we know he's likely only to get better over the next few years as he enters his prime. But the team around him may never be as good as it was in 2018. Now, sure, the defense might improve. I don't think it has just yet, or it hasn't by much just yet. And offensively, man, you're not likely to ever see a group like what we saw week one against the Chargers last year. Hill, Hunt, Watkins, Kelsey. That doesn't come around very often if it ever comes around again. So I could just tell you about my experiences covering a championship team in Green Bay. Eventually, the walls begin to come in. They begin to squeeze in on a player like Mahomes. It happened to Rodgers. Right as I was leaving Wisconsin, it started happening to Rodgers, where the franchise is either forced financially or because of a lack of quality drafts, they're forced to put more of an onus on you on the field, off the field, and in the locker room. Now, currently, Mahomes is a dream off the field, a dream on the field, and reports from, I guess, inside the locker room say that, you know, he's a quality leader. He said he's going to bring in 30 points in the second half of that Patriots game and then ultimately delivered. But we haven't seen any regression from this team yet. We haven't seen any truly hard times yet. And if Tyreek Hill's situation continues to grow, if it becomes something that carries to the team, well, then the cushion for this team gets a lot thinner. And the only one, in my opinion, that can break the fall, that can be that cushion, is Patrick Mahomes. He has to be ready to allow a lot of the team's issues and a lot of the fans' complaints. They're going to fall on his shoulders. Because through two seasons, it's been a dream, and we all know that dreams can only last so long. NCAA tournament tips up on Thursday. Plenty of Dreams will be dashed starting on Thursday. We have the best breakdown of the NCAA tournament. The only way we know how on Show and Vern. That's coming up next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back, Protein Housey with the Purpose. Text line 69306. From the 785, so you tell us all about your office drama, but you don't play any of the Seth Kizer interview. Good point. I wish you would have texted that earlier. No, I guess you'll just have to check it out if you would. Radio.com, go to Show and Vern, the radio.com app, or go to 610sports.com on demand page and listen to the podcast. I tweeted it out as well last night, so you could go to my Twitter page as well, at Josh Vernier 610. Text line always open for you, though. We'll hope to sprinkle in some phone calls a little bit later on in the show. So Mike Trout signs a 12-year, $430 million deal to remain in Anaheim. I think it's a bad day for baseball. I'll get to that coming up in a moment. But Serta and I were talking after yesterday's show, and, you know, I enjoy college basketball just as much as the next guy. I'm not going to say that I am a college basketball super fan. But if a college basketball, if an NCAA tournament game is on and close, of course I'm going to watch it. But I'm not the kind of guy that's going to be able to sit here and break down UC Irvine or Northeastern. I have too much of a life to be able to break down Northeastern or UC Irvine. If you want that, then this show might not be the spot for you. But I wanted to get a little bit more juiced for the NCAA tournament. I mean, I'm excited to watch what K-State can do, likely without Dean Wade. We'll see what the great Bill Self can milk out of this team. Of course, my Michigan Wolverines. So, a lot to look forward to, but I'm not really juiced about it. And I threw that at Serta, and Serta, you're already juiced for the NCAA tournament. I didn't know you were such a NCAA tournament savant.
I do love some college basketball.
I didn't know that. I knew you were a football nerd. I didn't, because it didn't really come up during the course of the regular season. This is just like a tournament thing?
I really only care about the NCAA tournament. It's fun to gamble on.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch all the games, to watch all the hopes and dreams die and be shattered.
It's a weird thing to say.
I really I gain strength from other people's sorrow. So I really like seeing people cry and their hopes and dreams crushed in the NCAA tournament.
You're sounding a tad bit morbid. So it's not the one shining moment or the guy hitting the game-winning shot. You like to see Adam Morrison crying at center court.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, what should we be looking forward to? What can you tell us about the NCAA tournament here in 2019?
I got a handful of games that I would like you to keep an eye out for during this first round of the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the second round's over the weekend, but big-time matchups. The number one, of course, the Duke Blue Devils. Must-watch television. They're going to smoke whoever they play. They've got the most talent in the country. And when you've got one guy who only has one name, Zion,
yeah,
you're going to go places.
No question.
And he will carry you to greatness.
Yeah, I think everyone's picking Duke. That seems to be the wise choice. All right, yeah, I'm with you so far. That's a yes. I think most people would agree. Zion, you would watch him regardless of who he would, whatever team he was playing on, you would watch Zion. And I'll be honest, this might be the first time ever that I find myself maybe not openly rooting for Duke, but I'm not cheering for their demise. I want to see as much Zion as I can. All right, good start.
We know you always have to pick that 12-5 upset.
Sure.
We've got a pressure-packed matchup of the week. Goes to Oregon trying to pull off one of the upsets over Wisconsin. 12 seed Oregon Ducks versus number 5 Wisconsin Badgers. We know Wisconsin just isn't that athletic because they usually have a bunch of white guys that aren't that athletic. And I'm willing to bet Oregon can hit the tray.
So you're guessing. Sounds like you're guessing with that Oregon thing.
Yeah. They always have shooters.
A lot of stereotypes in that little breakdown. Yeah, I mean, it.
Bang.
Sure, sure. Wisconsin's not very athletic. They're normally okay in March. All right. Not as strong as your open, but what's next?
Villanova versus St. Mary's is a matchup of wits against wits, the future leaders of tomorrow type of game. No real aspirations to win a national title, although Nova is the defending national champion. That's why this is the smartest matchup of the week, because we know those guys can really burn through some chem books.
Wits versus wits, I believe is what you said. Do you even know what wit is?
No. I just know those people have good resumes.
Is St. Mary's a smart school?
Sounds smart. Pretty sure it's not easy to get into. Next, my pick for the absolute worst fans in the first round of the tournament. That means that I will be rooting for both of your teams to lose and not advance in any way, if that is possible. Cincinnati and Iowa. I don't know much about the Bearcats, but I do know that I hate the Bengals, and I can't imagine people that go to school in Cincinnati are much better, and their head coach's name is Mick Cronin. Sounds like a character from Gangs of New York. I've also been to Iowa. It's not fun. I've been to Iowa bars. They also suck. I also once got a speeding ticket in Iowa for a slight coast over the speed limit at best. Hawkeye fans, you're terrible.
So as this is progressing, I'm seeing the facts are beginning to fall by the wayside, and we're really starting to zero in on just your personal experiences, more so than actually insight on these games. Klingler, isn't Josh Klingler an alum of Iowa? He is one of the nicest people I've ever met. That seems like an unfair takeout.
He's the only good Hawkeye fan I've ever met.
And Mick Cronin does kind of seem like a scumbag.
The ugliest matchup of the week. I'm not talking on the court play. I'm actually just talking straight up hideous people.
Oh my God.
Goes to the Maryland Terrapins, who will take on the winner of the Belmont and Temple play-in game.
Wait.
Only thing that can save this
thing. Three teams?
Yes. Yeah.
All three teams.
Have you seen their rosters?
No, of course I haven't. I just told you I'm not really following it that
closely. The only thing that could really save this thing would be Belmont scoring the upset thanks to forward Derek Saban, who's shooting a whopping 70% from the floor on 12 of 17 shooting on the season. He is 0 for 2 from downtown, though, so there's some weakness in that game.
Protein House Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Do you believe Derek Saban is a real person? He did have stats to back it up, so we all know how lazy Serta is. I don't think he would do both things. I believe you with that Derek Saban thing. Wow.
And the dumbest matchup of the week. You guessed it right. Buffalo versus Arizona State. But it could be also St. John's because that's also a play-in game. So this could move up and down the rankings, to be quite honest, because I feel like St. John's has to move you up a little bit of a notch in the IQ category. But if it's Buffalo, Arizona State, we know that is not high IQ basketball.
How do we know that? I don't know that. Are you promising me that that's a fact? Are
they test
dumb
scores?
Okay, so you're saying they're dumb people. Serta's spotlight on March. That started off pretty good, and then it just seemed like you just wanted to take out a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds and other people that graduated from said college. Wow.
Well, that's what we do during the NCAA tournament.
We've never been on during the NCAA tournament. This is our first NCAA tournament as a show. What do you mean this is what we do?
That's what I do during the NCAA tournament. That's how I enjoy myself.
Protein House Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. What'd you think of that? Sort of spotlight on March. I have another question. Getting back to the Chiefs, is Justin Houston still in the good graces of Chiefs fans? We'll find out next.
Show and Vern, Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Heck yeah, K-State, 1 o'clock Friday. You'll hear all of the K-State NCAA tournament games right here on your home for Wildcat Athletics, 610 Sports Radio. Protein Housey with a Purpose, text line 69306. Hey, Serta, it's from the 913. Hey, Serta, how do you not open up with Marcus Howard against John Morant? Marquette against Murray State, two lottery picks. I'm disappointed in you.
Really like both of their games. Unfortunately, I don't know anything about them.
But tomorrow, we will take a look, a sneak peek at a few other games to get your appetite whetted for the NCAA tournament. Two quick notes here before we get into Justin Houston. Phil Martelli fired by St. Joseph's after a 33-year run as their head basketball coach. I mentioned that because I said Phil Martelli was dead 2 weeks ago. He is very much alive, but no longer employed. So, heck of a run, Phil. Good to see you still alive and kicking. Speaking of alive and kicking, even though those ankles are severely swollen, happy birthday to Andy Reid. He is 61 years of age. Did you tweet out something from the 610 account yet wishing Andy Reid a happy birthday, Steve?
No.
I think we have to do that.
Are we obligated to do that we're a media outlet in Kansas
City?
I believe
so. I would think most of the television stations have done it. Most radio stations will do it. The Chiefs are a successful franchise. They are the three-time division champs because of the tutelage of Andy Reid. Yes, I think we are required.
I don't want to.
Okay.
He gets those ankles figured out. I wish him a happy birthday.
Text line, right? We have to wish Andy Reid a happy birthday. I know he's not on Twitter, and he'll never see it, but I believe it is a prerequisite of being a sports radio station that anytime it's someone's birthday, you must wish them happy birthday on Twitter. Like Denny Matthews, you have to wish Denny Matthews happy birthday. He'll never see it, but you have to do it. Yeah, quick question here about Justin Houston. Really, Justin Houston, Eric Berry, D. Ford, a question about all three of them. The three big departures from the 2018 Chiefs, right? With all due respect to Steve Nelson and Chris Conley and Mitch Morse. But the three guys that made the biggest or maybe most notable impact on Kansas City, D. Ford, Justin Houston, and Eric Berry. I'm wondering what category they fall into for you. Text line's open, 913-576-7610. Now, if you're confused about what I mean by category, I mean when you see Eric Berry as a Dallas Cowboy and Justin Houston as a New England Patriot or D. Ford as a San Francisco 49er. Do they fall into the category of, man, I hope they do well. As long as they're not playing the Chiefs, I am rooting for them. Or do they fall into that other category? The category that maybe isn't the majority, but it certainly was a vocal minority. The category that a lot of you put Marcus Peters into, where you wanted to see him fail. I'm not saying all of you wanted to. But there was a very vocal faction of the fan base that I swear, man, it seemed at times you would sacrifice maybe one Chiefs victory to see them have a brutal season that couldn't revel in the Pro Football Focus tweet talking about how Orlando Scandrick was performing better than Marcus Peters. You couldn't revel in that enough. Again, if this doesn't apply to you, then I'm not talking about you. But I think it's fair to say, even if I'm not talking about you, you know someone, you work with someone, you converse with someone that had that line of thinking with Marcus Peters. where, and you knew how poorly he performed last season for the most part, and you were quick to bring it up. Do these guys fall into that same category? When you see Eric Berry in Dallas or Justin Houston in New England or again Dee Ford in San Francisco, is there a need to feel justified in the move? Because I don't believe that those of you that were rooting against Marcus Peters, maybe I should, but I can't believe that you honestly disliked him as a person. Maybe you did. I don't know. But I would like to believe that you didn't honestly dislike him as a person. You loved the Chiefs so much, and you were so off-put by things that you heard about him or maybe saw him do that you were unwilling to excuse, and you wanted the Chiefs to be justified in their decision to trade him to Los Angeles. Now, Eric Berry's got to be in the other group, right? Eric Berry's a guy that, man, when you see him on that field, you're rooting for him to get back to that all-pro status. I think Justin Houston should be in that group as well because of what he gave you. He gave you some very good seasons. Yes, he didn't always earn every penny of that new contract, but Justin Houston's in the Ring of Honor. He's a Chiefs great, right? You want to see him do well. Sir, I don't remember. I wasn't here for it. When Tony Gonzalez was in Atlanta, what group was he in? Was he in a group that people wanted to see him succeed? Or was it, we need to be justified in not having him in Kansas City anymore, therefore we don't want him to flourish?
I think it was a little bit of both. I would say there was probably more people who are rooting for him to succeed because at the time, you know, we're talking about him as the most beloved Chief of all time because there just wasn't that much else to fall in love with for a really long time,
right,
when it came to the Kansas City Chiefs. So it was Tony G and then it was kind of everybody else. So there was a lot of people who were happy that they traded him because they thought he deserved an opportunity to win at the tail end of his career. But as we've seen, the tide's kind of turned on that, and now everybody is starting to despise Tony Gonzalez, right? Because, you know, he went his entire career without winning anything, and the one place he had an opportunity to do that, he decided he kind of liked more than Kansas City.
Despite your on-air claims, you were born and raised, and I believe still are, a Chiefs fan. What category would you put Houston, Berry, and Ford in? Again, Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Do you want to see them succeed? Are you openly rooting for them to succeed when they're not playing against the Chiefs? Where would you put those three?
I want them all to succeed. But there's very few players in the NFL that I openly root against. Because most of the time with those guys, I have a tendency to pick out the players I like or fall in love with certain players. And then I want to see those guys do well and I want to see those guys succeed. At one point or another, I've liked all of these guys. I've tried to back up all of these guys with my opinions.
But sir,
and so I'm rooting for all of them to do something moving forward in their careers.
You heard and you saw those fans that wanted to feel justified for trading Marcus Peters. Do you think that a Ford, a Houston, or a Berry fall into that Marcus Peters category for that vocal minority of Chiefs fans where, we can't acknowledge that you still had something left, that you are a quality player? Because to me, I think that Houston and Berry will still have numerous fans, countless fans here in Kansas City. I think Dee Ford's going to end up in that Marcus Peters category where we're going to be inundated with the stats if indeed he struggles this year in San Fran.
Yeah, and I think that with Houston and Berry, it'll absolutely help them, especially if they go and sign with another team, and then they aren't productive, and then they aren't that good, and then people say, see, they were washed up, we had to cut them, now they're going to retire in a year or two. With D Ford's still got something in the tank, obviously, and D Ford's going to be a good player. So while I do agree people are going to wind up disliking him at some point, it's going to be for completely different reasons than it was with Marcus, But Dee Ford is a good player who I still think is going to be very productive wherever he winds up.
I'm going to make a poll question on our Twitter page at 610 Sports KC. We will revisit this a little bit later in the show, but when we get back, I'll explain why Chiefs fans should expect more in 2019.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.